पत्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयं यो मे भक्त्या प्रयाच्छति तदाहं भक्त्युपाहृतं अस्नामि प्रयतात्मनः. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Krishna here explains very simply the supreme path of bhakti or devotional service. Some people translate bhakti as devotion, but our beloved acharyas, they give a very clear and practical understanding of what is bhakti, devotional service. The basis of true bhakti is knowledge. Lord Chaitanya explained the beginning of knowledge is to understand that we are not this body, but we are the jivatma, the eternal soul. The nature of the soul, jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas. We are eternally servants of Krishna. The singular purpose of life eternally is to please Krishna. Lord Chaitanya explained how in the vast Vedic literatures there are essentially three subjects discussed. The first is sambandha, to understand that I am not this body, I am the eternal servant of God. What is the nature of God? He is Krishna, all attractive. And to establish one's relationship with Krishna by accepting oneself eternally as the servant. And then the next stage is abhideya, to engage in the process of service with very deep attachment. And through this process, the heart is cleansed, anartha nivritti shat. And with the pure heart, we realize the eternal natural love that is within every living being, prayojana. The unconditional surrender of the gopis of Vrindavan is the culmination of all spiritual realization. Srila Prabhupada explains that the ends and the means are the same. Through always remembering Krishna in a spirit of servitude, we ultimately come to the platform of ultimate perfection, where we spontaneously, naturally, always remember Krishna in servitude, in ecstatic love. Krishna explains in this verse how whatever is offered, he does not accept the thing, but he accepts the devotion. He is bhavagrahi. The Lord accepts the spirit, the sentiment in which something is offered to him. Thus we must understand that the highest revelation of the absolute truth is Bhagavan, that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. the impersonal feature of the Lord is simply the glaring effulgence of the Lord, the all-pervading energy of the Lord. But Krishna, the Supreme Person, is the supreme energetic source. And Krishna is Bhaktivatsal. He is only pleased by the love of his devotees. And Krishna, who is the proprietor of everything that exists, it does not require anything that anyone offers. He does not need our temples. In the spiritual world, all the abodes are made out of eternal touchstone, Chintamani. One grain of dust from Vrindavan is billions and trillions of times more valuable than all the wealth in the earthly and heavenly planets combined. Krishna does not need our money. He does not need our intelligence. He does not need our skill. Because ultimately he is the intelligence of the intelligence, the strength of the strong, and the ability in man. He's the source of everything that exists. Janmadyashayataha. But it is the perfect nature of the Lord that the Lord is always hungry for his devotees' love. In this way, there is no material qualification or disqualification for the highest truth in life. It is simply a matter of our sincerity and humility. There are many such stories. Krishna lived as a gopa in Vrindavan. Yashoda and Nanda, the gopas and the gopis, they controlled Krishna. He was like a dancing puppet in their hands because of their love. And later on, we know the story of Sudama Vipra. All he had was a little, very low quality chipped rice that he begged. He was ashamed to even let Krishna see it. But Krishna was so hungry for the love in which he possessed. He was willing, he was just thinking of offering that to Krishna with love. But then due to his shame, he refused to do so. He didn't offer any mantra, tantra, yantra, puja. Krishna stole the rice from him to prove to the world that he is always hungry for the love of his devotee. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Suklambar Brahmachari, he was very, very poor Brahman. And Maharaj Prataparudra was the king. Lord Chaitanya accepted both of their offerings with the same satisfaction because of their sincere devotion. When Krishna went to Mithila, there was two people waiting for him. One was a very poverty-stricken Brahmin named Shrutadev, and the other was the wealthy king named Bahulaswa. Both simultaneously invited Krishna, come to my home. Krishna, knowing the sincerity of both, expanded himself into two persons and went to both of their homes. Bahulashwar, there was a beautiful palace. Krishna was seated on a golden, bejeweled throne. He was offered the finest, most opulent food preparations by the best of cooks. He was offered silks, jewels, wonderful offerings on golden and silver plates. There were the finest musicians performing and professional dancers dancing. Meanwhile, at the same time, at Shrutadev's house, it was just a little thatched hut. There was no throne, just a little straw mat for Krishna to sit upon. And all he had was some rice that he begged to offer Krishna on a simple leaf plate, not gold and silver. And he didn't have dancing and musicians. Shrutadev himself was just singing and dancing around, waving his chadar, his cloth, in the air. In the king's palace, Krishna was fanned with chamara, with golden handles. In Shrutadev's house, he took his own dhoti and was going like this to fan Krishna. Krishna was not partial to one over the other because he is bhavagrahi. Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. He is hungry for bhakti, love, devotion. Therefore, he was equally satisfied with both. So the real elevation of our human existence is to the extent we understand these principles. Mamupetya punarjanma dukalayam ashasha. Human life in this world, so many miseries. But Krishna explains in Srimad Bhagavatam that whatever our varna, whatever our ashram, whatever our occupational duty, whatever our particular status may be, our success must be understood simply on the basis of whether or not we please Krishna. If Krishna's please, our life is a success. If Krishna is not pleased, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks about us. Our life is being wasted. In this and in the next, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Just offer me a little flower, a fruit, water, with devotion, and I will accept it. In fact, Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Krishna is purchased by the love of his devotee. To give material benefits, elevation to higher planets, mystic cities, or even liberation is not actually very difficult to achieve. Krishna will give if you do the work. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantpata koteshupi mahamuni. But none of these things satisfy the heart. Pure devotional service is very rare. That is the only thing that can bring real satisfaction. Unconditional loving service to the Lord. Because that is our nature, our constitutional position. Krishna only gives that to those who are very, very sincere. Because once he gives that, Krishna agrees to be subordinate to the love of his devotee. the Lord said about Haridas Thakur and other Vaishnavas, declaring to the whole world, I am a prisoner in the heart of my devotee. He is a Abhigya Swarat. He is fully independent, absolutely free, the knower of everything. But his greatest pleasure is to be the prisoner in the heart of his devotee. He captures him by love. Krishna told Uddhava that I am more pleased by the chastisement of the Brijavasis than the great sages and rishis offering me Vedic hymns with great reverence and respect. Krishna's great pleasure is to be bound by the rope of the love of Yashoda Mayi. That is the power of bhakti. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has come to give all of us, the great gift of bhakti, which is the means by which we can attain pure love. Krishna tells us in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam that when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. When we satisfy Krishna, all our purposes in life are fulfilled. But if we try to satisfy the tree of our life by offering water to the leaves, branches, twigs, bark, it will give some satisfaction. It will appear to nourish it. But there's no real substance. We are eternal souls. We are all part of Krishna. When we utilize our invaluable human energies to please Krishna, we become ultimately satisfied. And we give ultimate satisfaction to others as well. We have seen practically in so many examples of devotees, not only in India, but even in the Western world, because they sincerely try to offer service to Lord Krishna and spiritual master. So many miracles take place around them. Even relatives who are absolutely appalled, confused, bewildered, and disgusted by their children becoming Hare Krishna devotees, become transformed. It's not something that can be intellectually understood. In my own life, my mother and father, ordinary conservative Americans. The Hare Krishna movement was the most foreign thing possible, incomprehensible. But just by some effort to please Guru and Krishna, Krishna's all over their house. There's deities of Krishna, there's pictures of Krishna. They play tapes of lectures and kirtans and videos, and they tell their friends, and they baptize their grandchildren in the Hare Krishna temple. And my whole family, when my mother was leaving her body, they all unanimously decided, let her go to Vrindavan in the care of the devotees and leave there. How does that happen? And it's happened to so many devotees. While all preparations were being made, she left her body. But they sent all of her ashes to be put in Jamuna and Ganga. And during the last rites, the only person they really asked to speak of all the family and friends was the son who's a Hare Krishna devotee. His Holiness Indra Jumano Swami Maharaj told me that his mother was leaving her body and she left a message on his answering machine just minutes before she left and said, "Please take me to Vrindavan. I want to go to Vrindavan to leave my body." Inconceivable. How? Why? Even Hiranyakashipu was delivered due to Prahlad's devotion. Niranjan Swami Maharaj, his sister is chanting Hare Krishna. Yes? Sometimes. Because simply when we please Krishna, when we make some honest, earnest effort, it's like watering the root of the tree. Krishna ultimately, eventually fulfills all our desires. And that is the purpose of the festival today. It is a flower festival. Actually, throughout the entire day from 7 o'clock in the morning, actually the preparations began a long time ago. But what was visual to the public's eyes, there was hundreds of devotees gathered together, big business executives and simple little grade school students, all plucking the petals from flowers. In devotional service, there's no high and low. It's not that sannyasi is high and street sweeper is low. As far as social etiquette, there is distinction. But from Krishna's point of view, and from the point of view of the heart of a Vaishnav, what is high is that whatever we do it with a pure heart, with honesty. We do it with humility. We do it with a sincere desire to please the Lord, Guru, and the devotees. That is high. So yes, so many different castes of people, nationalities of people, men and women and boys and girls, PhDs, simple people who have no education, don't know reading and writing, everyone sitting together to pluck the petals from the flowers, chanting the holy names in great happiness. Hundreds of people, they become like one body with one purpose, intimately united. Let us have a wonderful festival for the pleasure of their lordships and for the pleasure of all the devotees. So there's petals from over 1 ton. That is, how many kilos? 1,000 kilos of flowers. But this is very small offering, actually. Actually, according to Gaur Gopal Prabhu, they weighed the flowers. And it is exactly 108 kilos of flowers. 1,008. Thank you. So today, if we have our consciousness in the proper state of mind, we will be spiritually illuminated by this experience. What should be our meditation? Our meditation should be to see how Krishna is enjoying with Sri Radharani. How Sri Radha Gopinath are enjoying the profuse showers of the flowers of the love of their devotees. when we find happiness in Krishna's happiness, we experience complete spiritual satisfaction. To the degree we want our own selfish desires to be fulfilled, we are entangled in the anxieties of the network of implicated karmic reactions. To the degree, with a simple heart, which is the conclusion of all philosophy, with a simple heart, to just be happy to see Sri Radha Gopinath enjoying, we attain eternal peace, eternal satisfaction. People talk about world peace, but this is a real peace festival. We have people from Ukraine, from Hungary, from America, from Italy, from India, from Africa, from so many places in the world. People born of Hindus, Muslims, Jewish, Christian, Jain, Parsi families. We have old and young, poor and rich, men and women, boys and girls, IIT graduates, and simple people doing menial services of cleaning. But when you come to the temple of Sri Radha Gopinath, these distinctions must be left at the gate. And better to leave them there even when you go home. When we come to Radha Gopinath's temple, we see each other in the spirit that we are brothers, we are sisters, we are all meant for the satisfaction of Sri Radha and Krishna. We are all here to assist Sri Radharani in her loving service to Krishna. And the spiritual masters are teaching us how to do that. How glorious, how wonderful. How love and peace can permeate all of our hearts for the Lord and for each other when we simply find satisfaction in working together to make Radha Gopinath happy. And what makes them most happy? Mad Bhakta Puja Vedika. They are most happy when we show our love and our service to those who they love. And who do they love? They love every living entity. And especially their devotees. So it is a festival of love. It is a festival of the flowers of our devotion. Jointly being offered through our singing, through our dancing, and through our offering, our hearts and our lives. I thank you very much. The most important flower, the most important means of offering the flower of our devotion is through our united efforts to chant and to broadcast the very sweet, merciful, all-purifying names of the Lord.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Would anyone like to hear Niranjan Swami speak?
Actually, the last time I was here was on Sharad Purnim. And At that time, Maharaj asked me to speak. And he went, was on the altar. So I was thinking that maybe it's Krishna's arrangement this time that he speaks. He already expressed everything necessary for us to have the proper consciousness to participate in this festival. So I'm wondering if there's anything necessary for me to say in addition to what he has already said. But I know if I don't say something more than this, he'll be angry at me, so I'll say a little more. As usual, he is Radhanath Maharaj has captured the essence of the event in an appropriate way to help us focus on what is to take place this evening, Pushpa Abhishek. Pusha Abhishek, I think it's written. And the essence of all of our activities is to satisfy Krishna somehow by our activities. Prabhupada used to quote the verse, Atak Pumbhya Dvija Shrestha Vanasham Vibhagasya Svanushta Tasya Dharmasya Sangsidhi Haridoshanam. That the highest perfection that one can achieve by the discharge of his duties according to caste divisions and orders of life is Sangsidhi Haridoshanam, is to please the Supreme Lord Hari. That is perfection. If the Lord is pleased by one's activities, then there's nothing higher to be achieved in life. That is the perfectional stage of life. Without satisfying the Lord, just as it is stated, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Chapastapa Apranasyeva Dehanam Mandanam Lokaranjanam. That for a person who is devoid of devotion, even if he takes birth in a great family or nation, even if he is expert at chanting all kinds of Vedic mantras, even if he is very learned Brahmin, expert in the scriptures, all these things are considered to be like ornaments on the dead body. They simply serve the concocted pleasures of the general populace. Prabhupada would oftentimes speak about this, ornaments on a dead body. What is the value of ornamenting a dead body? The body is dead. So in the same way, this verse explains that if there's no devotion, even if we're expert at chanting all kinds of Vedic mantras, even if we're very learned in the scriptures, even if we are performing all kinds of austerities and penances, these things and of themselves will not satisfy the Lord. The Lord can only be pleased with devotion. So the essence of all our activities in Krishna consciousness is to cultivate this devotional attitude, which is to somehow or other awaken the pleasure of the Lord. It is not an external affair. Just like last night, Radha Gopinath was giving out an award. He called it the DS Award. It was the Duki Suki Award, right? It was that award that was given to a person who was always appeared to be in the background, never trying to externally try to impress the Lord and the devotees by his activities. The Lord cannot be externally impressed because he doesn't look at any of these things. His attention cannot be captured by some kind of external show. He knows the heart. Prabhupada used to give the example, just as a person can understand the fragrance of a flower simply by being near the flower, in the same way Krishna within the heart, he knows everything that is there, the desires within the heart of every living entity. is Krishna situated within everyone's heart. As he says, for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So, therefore, situated within the heart, the Lord knows what is a person's motive. Is he simply trying to engage in some kind of external show, thinking that he can capture attention in this way? But actually the Lord, he doesn't look at these things. He looks what is there. As Maharaj quoted the verse, Patra pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakya parayachati, that even if a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water is offered, it's not the leaf, the flower, the fruit, or the water which satisfies the Lord. It's the bhakti. It's the devotion. How could a leaf or a flower actually satisfy the Supreme Lord? He's possessing everything. What is the value of a flower to the Lord? He is the possessor of all flowers, or a leaf, or water. Everything belongs to Him. Aham savasya prabhavo mattaksavam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the source of the material spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from me. Etad yonini bhutani sava hityapad hariya aham kutsnasya jagata prabhavat palayastata. Of all that is spiritual, all that is material, I am the origin and source and dissolution. Everything is coming from Krishna. What is the value to Him of a flower or a leaf or water? The value is in the substance, the heart of the offering. The desire to please the Lord. That is what the Lord sees and nothing else. When the Lord sees that within the heart of His devotee, then even this most smallest, most insignificant offering, the Lord will want to take. Even if the devotee won't offer it. Maharaj gave the example of Shuklambar. Example of Shuklambar is that he didn't even offer it. He didn't want to offer it. He used to go from door to door begging them to the most impoverished people and begging a few grains of broken rice. He would stay away from the wealthy people and go to the most impoverished people and simply beg some few grains of broken rice, and he would put it in his little satchel carrying it. But Lord Chaitanya was so eager to take something from his hand that even though there was no mantras or anything, he grabbed it, took it right away from him immediately, even without offering it. Why? Because the bhakti was there. Another time Lord Chaitanya asked Shuklambara, he said, I want you to prepare some wonderful food for me. Please prepare a meal for me. And Shuklambara thinks, oh Lord, why are you playing games with me? Do not try to trick me in this way. How could you possibly want something from me? I'm just an insignificant beggar. So please, don't speak in this way. And the Lord said, no, I want something from you. I want to take something. Please prepare some food for me. And he was going to all the devotees present. He was saying, how can I prepare something? I'm so low, I'm so degraded, I'm a beggar. How can I prepare something for the Lord? And the devotees were all telling him, no, it is the nature of the Lord. He wants to take something from the hand of his devotee. That is his nature. Just as he went to the home of Vidura and accepted food from the hand of Vidura, he also wants to take food from your hand. So please, you should understand, this is his kindness upon you. And Shuklambara again was saying, oh, how can I possibly offer anything? So they said, well, if you don't want to touch, if you don't want to offer something to the Lord, then don't touch it with your hands. Prepare the food without touching it with your hands. This way, he was thinking that Shuklambara, he would be able to fulfill his desire, that he would not offer it with his hands directly by touching it. So thinking in this way, he went home and he began to prepare food for the satisfaction of the Lord. Very nice, opulent rice and ghee, and prepared everything without touching with his hands. But while preparing the offering, he was singing the names of the Lord, chanting all the wonderful names of the Lord, Govinda, Gopal, Vanamali, all the names of the Supreme Lord while he was preparing these. And then while making this, then the Goddess of Fortune herself entered into the kitchen
and entered into the preparation, and everything became so wonderfully sweet. Later the Lord appeared in the home of Shukumbhara, and he asked him, "So you prepared some food for me?" Shukumbhara brought him that rice that he had prepared. Lord Chaitanya looked at him, and he looked at everyone and glanced within their eyes. The Lord gave him that most merciful glance directly within the eyes of each and every one of devotees. Perfection. Just as Prabodhananda Saraswati says, for one who's achieved the merciful glance of Lord Chaitanya, then kaivalya narakayate, then to achieve liberation for such persons is like going to hell. And to attain the heavenly planets is like phantasmagoria. And the venomous serpents of the senses become like serpents with broken fangs. They no longer have any poisonous effect. Vishrampurna sukhayate, the whole universe becomes joyful. And the position of the demigods, they become like insignificant insects for any person who's received that merciful glance of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya gave a merciful glance to each and every devotee, and looking directly into the eyes of Shukumbhara after tasting the preparation which he had made without touching. Lord Chaitanya told him, he said, "Shukumbhara, friends like you are the root from which I grow." When the devotees heard this statement from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, they began crying, tears flowing from their eyes, understanding this is the essence. Shukumbhara actually, because of his love for the Lord, because of his devotion, made no difference. He was beggar, whatever position, as Maharaj has very clearly explained. Even the beggar on the street can satisfy the Lord if he has love within his heart. And the Lord is very easy to take directly from the hand of his devotee, and is most satisfied by that offering. This is the essence. This is the essence of our Krishna consciousness philosophy. And this essence has already been established in our hearts, having heard from the words of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And anything I can say subsequent to him is simply like lighting a candle before the sun. Insignificant. So because he's given us some understanding of this essence, we've been able to at least somehow speak a few words about this essence of devotional service. And this is the essence of tonight's event, is that we should meditate that this offering of flowers for the satisfaction of the Lord, this is the primary objective of why we have all come here this evening. The Lord is very much pleased by such offerings when they are offered with love. Patram pushpam palam doyam. That's what he wants. The love, the desire to satisfy him. This is what will establish the true glory of each and every devotee, to the extent that they can actually, within their hearts, make an offering for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So tonight we will chant in kirtan for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We'll see wonderful flowers, petals offered for their pleasure. As we said, that our efforts will be made to assist Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada, when he was speaking about the Pushya Abhishek, he said actually that Krishna was simply like a toy in the hands of the gopis. And therefore he allowed, being like a toy in the hands of the gopis, he allowed himself to be decorated by the gopis themselves. Wonderful. It's just like one of the names of Krishna's names is Vanamali. And Vanamali means he's always decorated by forest flowers. Right? So, the gopis, they are decorating. At the beginning of the rasa dance, actually Krishna, he decorated all the gopis, and then the gopis, they took all the flower garlands, they took all the different ointments and various minerals from the forest, and they began decorating Krishna with all of these flowers themselves, with themselves. So they are decorating Krishna. And Prabhupada said that this Pushya Abhishek is actually when Krishna becomes like a toy in the hands of the gopis. What is this toy? That means that he's controlled by the love of his devotees. That is what it means. He becomes completely submissive, subordinate, and controlled, as he's described, been described as Bhakta Vatsala. This quality of Bhakta Vatsala, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes as like an all-powerful king. Right? An all-powerful king which conquers all other qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and reconciles all contradictions in his behavior. Bhakta Vatsala. That is one thing that Krishna will always do. He will always reciprocate the love of his devotees and becomes conquered by that love. So just as Krishna becomes a toy in the hands of the gopis and he allows himself to be decorated by them, so in this way we will also assist this evening the gopis in their efforts to decorate the Supreme Lord in this mood of devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
2 days' flowers were sponsored by our very dear friend Nikunj Danuka Prabhu. Let us thank him very much. Would you like to speak a couple words, Guru Das Prabhu? Just 2-3 minutes, please. In 2 or 3 minutes, we will begin the darshan of Sri Radha Gopinath. But first, Guru Das Prabhu will give us a message of his heart.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for making this all possible. You have spoken so nicely about the meaning of this festival, to offer a flower with love and devotion. What is a flower? It comes from mud. It comes from earth with a seed, a bijam. This seed is like our devotion. We plant it and it grows. And it bursts into color, and it bursts into beautiful, flavorous scent to please the Lord. Devotion is not a dry thing. It is like this mood of Vrindavan. We can have fun in devotion. It doesn't have to be dry and tasteless. Just like this festival is so much fun, and we can leave all our material desires in the earth, in the mud, because our devotion flowers into this wonderful feeling of, let me please Krishna, let me please Radharani. Our material desires get out of the way when we're in the middle of this feeling of bhava, like Mother Yashoda. She was more interested in feeding Krishna. She just said, hey, look into Krishna's mouth. Oh, there's the universes, but get out of the way because I want to feed Krishna. So with this simplicity, this childlike purity, we are going to have some fun tonight. And last year, this was such an ecstatic festival that I told people about it, and it lasted for the whole year. And so let us, in this feeling of the mood of devotion and caring and purity, let our material desires get out of the way, and let us feel that we're actually offering this love to Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much.